This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high-performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing, and when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that. But what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems, or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vultr Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale all on their own. Try Vultr today for free by visiting vultr.com/screaming, and you'll receive $100 in credit. That's vultr.com/screaming. Well, slap me naked and hide my clothes. Reinvent is nigh. Right now, we're basically seeing a whole bunch of service dumps of things that didn't make the keynote, so we're going to be seeing more releases this week and next than we normally might. Let's dive into it and see what explodes. Amazon Athena adds cost details to query execution plans. You can now get cost information from an explain analyze query, which is going to help you out when your CFO sends you an explain justify query. Amazon DevOps Guru now supports multi-account insight aggregation with AWS organizations, another silo broken down by the DevOps Guru. Picture a superhero that spends more time talking on stage than writing code and trips over their own cape when I say this. Amazon EC2 Fleet and Spot Fleet now support automatic instance termination with capacity rebalancing. It's sad for the AWS service teams when the party comes to an end and they have to make things that automatically spin up new nodes also turn them off afterwards. Amazon ECS now adds container instance health information. It still fails to provide same-day insight into the current health of your AWS bill for the ECS cluster, of course. Amazon EKS adds support for additional cluster configuration options using AWS CloudFormation. I'm not sure what the current state-of-the-art is for configuring and managing Kubernetes, but I'm pretty damn sure that it's not CloudFormation, whose motto is, "It's free because it sucks." Amazon Lex launches support for Austrian German. Ja, ist für Scheißen posten. Amazon Nimble Studio launches the ability to test launch profile configurations via the Nimble Studio console. Being able to answer, will this profile work, before testing it in production and learning that the answer is nope, is exactly the kind of feature I'd expect from a service with the word nimble in its name. AWS Batch introduces Fair Share scheduling. Any Amazon release with Fair Share in the title is just an open invitation for people to dunk on them on Twitter. AWS CloudTrail announces error rate insights. CloudTrail Insights will now charge you more, but in return, it will tell you exactly how crappy your application is. This is, contrary to popular opinion, incredibly helpful. I approve. Good job, CloudTrail team. Your error rate has decreased, in my eyes at least. AWS Marketplace announces enhancements to change request submission experience. It's only a matter of time before this marketplace thing starts shilling NFTs, isn't it? Introducing 34 new resource types in the CloudFormation registry. Lovely! One new resource type for each way I've discussed to run containers on AWS. In the works, AWS Canada West, Calgary region. I'm more than a little scared that Calgary is referred to as Canada West, and absolutely scared that the region map I saw when this was announced put the pending region east of the existing central region. Measure and improve your application resilience with AWS Resilience Hub. The new Resilience Hub is a new naming scheme for AWS, oxymorons. Centralized hubs are, in fact, less resilient than distributed systems as a general rule. New EC2 instances G5 with NVIDIA A10G Tensor Core GPUs. We're just one generation away from me being able to reprise the Far East Movement hit song Like a G6. Implementing auto-scaling for EC2 Mac instances. You'd really think that this blog post would mention that Mac instances have a minimum 24-hour billing period to comply with Apple licensing requirements. It seems to me that this is a great way to set a giant pile of money on fire if you're unaware of that fun bit of trivia. Understanding how AWS Lambda scales with Amazon SQS standard queues. I like this post, but I confess that it reads to me as the SQS Lambda integration was left half done, and the fact that this behavior requires a full blog post to explain is testament to that fact. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Klarna, Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them I sent you just so you can see them facepalm yet again. Introducing Amazon ECS Exec to access your Windows containers on Amazon EC2. Amazon ECS Exec Deepak Singh, who's their VP of containers, could not be reached for comment on this release. A conversation on the best practices to maximize business value from the cloud. This is for customers, not the cloud providers themselves. Milk our customers like they're fat, luscious cattle with Amazon-managed NAT gateway charges is on that second list. Techniques for managing strategic risk. This gives a bunch of strategic risk examples, and they all dance around Amazon enters your market before any of my AWS friends whack reply to tell me that this leads to better outcome for customers by validating their market. I want you to look long and hard at your data egress pricing compared to what it costs in on-premises environments. No, before you go, retail attendee guide for reInvent 2021. Don't go, because for some godforsaken reason, this event starts on Cyber Monday, directly after Black Friday. Explain to me again why you're funding the retailer who's likeliest to validate the absolute crap out of your market? That's what I think you should know. Use AWS Control Tower to deploy AWS Quick Starts to multiple accounts. It's still not what I would call quick, but I'll grant that for large organizations, this does promote the current state of the art to what I'll term brisk starts. Customize Amazon Translate output to meet your domain and organization-specific vocabulary. At AWS, they can't have Translate auto-learn new vocabulary. Its database keeps filling with crap to the point of becoming absolutely useless due to being subjected to too many proposed new service names. Querying AWS at scale across APIs, regions, and accounts. We are so bad at providing a reasonable path to discoverability around what's running in your AWS accounts that third parties need to actively volunteer their labor in order for you to make any sense of it at all is one hell of a take, topped only by the fact that some of those APIs do in fact cost money to query. Supporting our veterans through training, workforce development, and hiring. Plus, let's face it, once someone has dealt with combat, I'd imagine it's hard to get too excited about some random service throwing API errors. Breaking down the questions on AWS certification exams. This is a great review of how to contextualize certification questions. In the real world, of course, the questions instead shift form to, does the thing you built actually work? Or, in more exciting moments, how quickly can you get our company back online because we are a bank? And finally, the business benefits of hiring early career cloud talent. Right now, for AWS, it feels a lot like the benefit accruing to them is people who are senior laugh at our recruiters and hang up the phone due to our reputation for not paying competitively or our mandatory non-compete agreements, so we've got no choice but to hire early career folks who aren't quite savvy enough to figure that out. You are, because you listen to this, the AWS Morning Brief. I'm so glad to have you here. I'll talk to you later this week. Please continue to make good choices.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.